Thanks for downloading this podcast. I'm Kelly Beatty of Sky and Telescope magazine, and we're going on a tour of what's overhead during October evenings and mornings. Let's get to those early risings first, because if you're looking for planets, that's where the action is. In fact, if you time it right, you've got a shot at seeing four planets plus a razor-thin crescent moon all at once this month. So, let's set the pre-dawn stage. Venus leads the way. It's the brightest planet by quite a bit, and it rises first, too, around 3 a.m. or a little afterward. By the time dawn's rosy fingers start to creep across the sky, say 6-ish, Venus is well up in the eastern sky and dramatically dazzling. You'll find the star Regulus in Leo, not far away, to the lower left of Venus early in the month, but gliding above it later on. Regulus is respectably bright, a first magnitude star, but it's no match for Venus, which outshines it by 100 times. Jupiter pops up in the east a little later, and as dawn approaches, you'll find it to the lower left of Venus by slightly more than the width of your clenched fist held at arm's length. Look a bit to Jupiter's upper right for a medium bright star with a reddish tinge. That's no star, it's the planet Mars. So, these four objects, Venus, Regulus, Mars, and Jupiter, create a striking diagonal line toward lower left aimed right at the point of sunrise. Then things really start to get crowded. Beginning October 8th, a waning crescent moon arrives on the scene, and it'll look great alongside Venus and Regulus. If you're up early enough that morning, or the next, keep an eye out for some extra shooting stars from the Draconid meteor shower. It's hard to predict how many of those you might see, maybe one every 10 minutes or so. The moon moves farther to the lower left each successive morning, perching above Jupiter on the 9th and below it on the 10th. Before dawn on the 11th, find a really clear view toward east and look about 30 minutes before sunrise for a trio of celestial pairings. Venus and Regulus are on top, Jupiter and Mars in the middle, and a super thin crescent moon joins our fourth planet, Mercury, down near the horizon. It's a pre-dawn traffic jam. Day by day, watch as Jupiter and Mars draw closer together. On Saturday morning, the 17th, they're less than a half a degree apart. That's less than the width of a pencil held at arm's length. Meanwhile, Mercury is no longer hard to spot in the twilight murk. It's actually reasonably high up, roughly one fist above the horizon, if you go looking for it about 45 minutes before sunrise. If you do get up before dawn for one of these celestial attractions, make sure to swing your gaze over to the west while it's still dark. There you'll see Orion, the great hunter, surrounded by his hunting dogs at lower left, Taurus the bull to his right, and the twins of Gemini overhead. These are the constellations that will soon be migrating into the evening sky and be accompanying us throughout the winter. So, speaking of evening skies, let's flip the clock and take a quick jaunt through the stars that you'll see in early evening as twilight fades. This is always an interesting time of year for sky watching. Soon after the sun sets, look well to the left of it, about 4 or 5 fists away, for a glimpse of Saturn and, to its left, the star Antares, which marks the heart of Scorpius. Now, don't dawdle, because they'll both set about an hour or so after sunset. In fact, this will be your last shot at seeing Saturn for several months. Now make a turn to your right so that you're facing north, more or less. Not far above the horizon is our old friend, the Big Dipper. Its bowl is on the right, and its handle is sticking out toward left. As the evening starry sky pinwheels through the changing seasons, the Big Dipper does a slow counterclockwise dance around Polaris, the North Star. And where is Polaris, you might ask? Well, some people think it's the brightest star in the sky, but that's not the case. Still, it's easy to spot if you know where to look. First, find the two stars on the right side of the Big Dipper's bowl. Now draw an imaginary line through them, and follow that line upward and to the right until you spot a medium bright star pretty much all by itself. There you go, that's Polaris. 3 fists to the right of Polaris, and a bit higher up, you'll see a group of 5 stars crudely shaped like a 3. Or maybe you'll see them as a broad W tipped up on its left corner. Whatever, the whole pattern is a little bigger than your clenched fist. This is the constellation Cassiopeia, who's a queen in Greek mythology. You'll see that Cassiopeia and the Big Dipper are situated on opposite sides of Polaris. So when one is high up, the other is down low. The Big Dipper dominates in spring and summer, while Cassiopeia rules in autumn and winter. Now swing your gaze up, way up to overhead. You should see the three widely spaced stars of the summer triangle, which measures about 2 3/5 on a side. The corner of the triangle farthest west, nearest the direction of sunset, is marked by Vega. It's the main star in a tidy constellation called Lyra, the lyre or harp. Farther east and closer to Polaris is the star Deneb. It marks the tail of a giant swan, Cygnus, apparently flying south for the winter along the Milky Way. You should be able to make out the swan's wingtips and long neck. Or try picturing Deneb at the top of a large cross about 2 fists long. The triangle's third star is Altair, the head of a celestial eagle called Aquila that's winging toward the swan. At month's end, of course, is Halloween. Go ahead and trot out the pumpkins and fuzzy spiders, then try doing what I do. When trick-or-treaters invade our neighborhood, I set up my telescope on our driveway so that all those little goblins and their parents can take a quick peek through the eyepiece. It's always a big hit, and you should try it. Or at least point out the summer triangle to them. Don't forget that skyandtelescope.com is a great destination for all kinds of sky watching tips. Next month, we'll take a sky ride on a flying horse. Until then, I wish you clear skies.